You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease.
Ghetto
people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. And I hope you go get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and you have to get it done, you will. But if you don't, maybe you will just stay inside and stay safe. But if you do go out, I know you'll probably, no, probably nothing. I know you will. You're going to wear a mask. You're going to keep your distance. You're going to wash your hands. You're going to do all the things that you need to do because corona is spiking again. And when it spikes, that means there are more people infected. And that means more people hospitalized. And that means that more people will perish. Sad as it is, but that is true. So no, Trump, once again, with his lying ass, it is not, you're not rounding the corner or rounding the curve, or it is not, you know, slowing down. No, it is doing what it wants to do. In fact, there's no doubt about it. There are some places already have shut down. I know a few places in Europe countries have shut down. I think Italy has shut down. Because they know that the bottom line, even though, you know, there might be some medications, I know they did, remdesivir has been approved because it has helped COVID patients who come into the hospital and they get the drug and they're possibly a lot better 4 or 5 days later. And then hopefully they're out of the hospital and back to trying to heal themselves. And then, of course, it's always a possibility of reinfection. But even a vaccine would only mean that you would be, the vaccine doesn't cure you. The vaccine prevents you from getting it. But, man, it's crazy. Just like last night. I didn't watch that. I've never watched the debates, man. I just watched the pundits later and all the fact-checking, you know, and the dude from CNN be cracking me up, man. He said, it's impossible to keep up with Trump's lying ass. He didn't say that. I said that. But that's the truth. He is truly the great prevaricator. He is one, man. I am the son of a gun. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives, and that's timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that, and the drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for Awakening Media, this program, once again, is
11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Mondays, Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad and Wahad Ahmed. And then following Acres of Diamonds from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. And then after that, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Nkobra, Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey, every first and third Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, every Tuesday from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, After 7 with Shani B. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., excuse me, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. That's right, tonight at 8 p.m., time for an awakening. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers on Saturday from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council, with host Brother Alfonso Watkins. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. And if you are really somebody who supports or say that you support or say that you should be paying up at We Buy Black. You should be going online buying products from WeBuyBlack.com. That's for sure. That is for shizzy. That is for shizzle, my little dizzle nizzle. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. Brother Bomani has a trip upcoming next month. Still, I haven't, need to give him a call. That's what I need to do. Let's be real. See what's happening with that. I'll have that information for you by next week. But what I want you to do is go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. You know, and, or let me see what it is. Yeah, I'll give him drop him an email at AFTA2010@MSN.com. That's AFTA2010@MSN.com. And let him know that you are interested, that you want to go. You went to the website, you see all the things that you need for you to go. You see the trips that are available. And plus that, too, you went to Facebook and seen photos. Facebook.com/Bomani. You went to see the videos that are on YouTube. YouTube.com/Bomani. So you really want to go on this trip. That's right. You want to go on this trip, whether it's to Ghana, Tanzania, Senegal and Gambia, South Africa. What? You know it. It's going to be beautiful. So check out AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Renoko, I'm not sure. I know he's been doing a lot of webinars. And he was on with us last weekend for the Pan-African Federalist Movement. And I'll be updating you on that consistently. His trip is January 21st to February 4th, 2021. And it's $4,200. And it takes you from Uganda to Rwanda. And I'm just going to keep it real, man. I'm really interested in checking out Rwanda. Really am. Really interested in checking out Rwanda. So Ghana, Rwanda, and that's still on. And then, of course, he has another trip after that, August 1st to August 14th, going to Kemet. August 1st to August 14th. Here I am watching this big ass thing on my screen of a Parthenon in Greece, which is my presentation. So that's kind of apropos. It really is. It's my presentation. Habesha Incorporated, habershawincorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, go to habershawincorporated.org and look at what they are doing. Those brothers and sisters have got it going on. Look at what they're doing. habershawincorporated.org. Saw Mama Nia. She's looking good. Her bookstore is open and ready for you to come in and browse and buy. Located in the Greenbrier Mall, right off of Georgia Highway 166 here in Atlanta. And if you're looking for a book specifically, give her a call at 404-346-3263 and see if she has the book that you desire. And of course, if she doesn't, then she'll get it for you. That's 404-346-3263. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. A fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, you name it. It's a good place. The other bookstore we promote is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. That is east of Atlanta, off of Interstate 20. Interstate 20, east of Atlanta. And there's Light in the Black Dot. My brother Gazande Ajamu, he's got it going on. He's got his coffee bar going and selling pastries and so forth. Some bean pie, supreme bean pie. That's right, from Chicago. Hope he don't change that up. Hope he can keep that connection. Because if I go there, man, I'm looking for a supreme bean pie, okay? Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And it's right across the street from the Soul Veg and up the street from Shrine of the Black Madonna. I reported that. I was wondering what was going on with the Shrine of the Black Madonna because I seen the sign. There's some Baptist church, and I thought it was changing over. But, of course, what it was is they're doing a movie. No, the shrine is still there. Their sanctuary is still there. They're doing a movie, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Cafe Ulu. No, Oshi. Cafe Ulu, unfortunately, doesn't exist anymore. Us lifting us to economic development, cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, as we like to say, family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night, had it last night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, and the name of the program is Dare to Win. Every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10, 1 hour program, but they pack a lot of it in there. And if you want to listen on the phone because you want to maybe ask a question or couldn't have a comment or concern, you dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people. Sanjay Dash Ayiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia sent me some information just recently. Of course, they have a holiday coming up. I don't know if I'm do something for the holiday for him, but I'll always support him. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. Sanjay dash Haiti. They deserve to be supported, my brothers and sisters. Please do so. Please support them. Akabin Institute. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. I know I make my contribution once a month to Akabin Institute and a few other organizations and entities that I feel it's important to support because that's what we need to do. We need to support each other. We need to support these organizations. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Also, too, there are a lot of programs that the Baroudis are involved in coming up. They have the monthly programs on the same day. Next week, we got the next Saturday the 7th. The women, their time is from 4 to 6 on Saturday the 7th. The topic is resisting feminism, of any color by any name. Mama Yah will be leading that discussion. She's a facilitator. And of course, what you do is you make your donation, $10 or $5 for teenagers, through PayPal, Yah, Y-A-A, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at Yahoo. Yah Baruti at Yahoo. Include the pertinent information, of course, is Resisting Feminism, your name, and the email address that they can send a streaming link to you. And then the next same day is Prayers of Gratitude. That's Baba Baruti's program, and that's going to be from 12 to 2. It's going to be from 12 to 2. And same thing applies. Your $10 donation, $5 for those warriors in training, and send it to yahbaruti at yahoo.com. And of course, to include the program name, which is Prayers of Gratitude, your name, and your email address, so you can get the link, so you can hook up for next week Saturday. Saturday through next, excuse me, I keep saying that, because next week Saturday, I'm going to be gone. That's right. I won't be here next Friday. And for the following week, I'll be in Chicago and Milwaukee. And believe me, y'all, I'm going to be covered up, dude. I'm wearing 3 masks. Indoors and out. Man, it's no joke. Here's some other programs. BlackSustainabilitySummit.com. The Black Sustainability Summit is happening today. Celebrate today. The 5th Annual Black Sustainability Conference is happening today. And trying to figure out how you jump on. Go to blacksustainabilitysummit.com and they'll lead you to how you get on. It's got a lot of good information, good sponsors here. Join us the 23rd. Oh, okay. It's a weekend workshop with panel presentations. Over 30 presenters from around. Wow. Are you ready for to change your world? BlackSustainabilitySummit.com. All right. Kibuka, the 5th annual Kibuka, November 21st from 5 to 9. That's also going to be on virtual. It's $20 a family, $15 a couple, $10 adults, $5 for young people. Same thing applies. Include Kibuka, your name, and email address so you can get the link so you can be a part of. And if you've ever been to the Kibuka, and I know it's going to be good, and even though it's going to be virtual, but man, going there at, you know, seeing the emotions and so forth, seeing the young people, it's deep. Abakas and Tsum Tsum, the 17th annual Abakas and Tsum Tsum, Dr. Marimba Ani, and the program this year is titled Race First, African Ancestral War Plan. Baka Sim Sum Sum is spiritual warfare. And it's going to be Sunday, November 15th. Sunday, November 15th, 12:30 to 6:30 at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs. Okay, we'll get more on that. Also, too, Baba has a course. Baba Baruti has a course. Ewa for Warriors in Training. And it starts December 2nd through the 30th, and I'll give you more details on that. But the same thing, it's $10 individual class, but $45 for the entire course of December. And of course, you do the same thing. You put the course name down, your name, and email address so you can get it. And also to your phone number, All right. Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. October 22nd. You got these young brothers out there that's thinking that they're getting something that they're going to make a living with, but they're killing themselves, just like the wolf was licking the blade, and they're slowly dying without knowing. Omali Yesitele. At the youngest ages possible, our children must be prepared to rebuild a world from scratch if necessary.
It is not a matter of wasting time or reinventing the wheel. The wheel was old before those who accused us of reinventing it had come out of their caves. We cannot reinvent what has already been invented, what is already ours. Therefore, it is simply a matter of our children developing their minds so they will be able to think and build as their ancestors. Their curiosity must not be lost to anti-African educational institutions or crash conspicuous consumption. If the purpose of our children's education is no more than to get a job so then they can continue building others' empires while fighting each other over some temporarily discarded loose change, then it is absolutely counterproductive for us. Worse, it is treasonous and genocidal because in the Caucasians' capitalist gain, their gain is our loss. If mental work cannot be connected to care and cultivation of the land and other resources, and if physical work cannot be connected to the arts and sciences, and the two cannot be connected one revolutionary force, and if both of these cannot be inextricably connected to spirit, they cannot transform a people or empower them within their traditions. Affirm. I believe in power of conscious education. Affirm, I believe in power of conscious education. October 23rd, 2/3 of American Negroes will be no help to anyone, anywhere. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, who said, I believe that God is black, he's got to be black, because if God is a white man, there is no hope. Obviously, as a people, we are not prepared to engage Uruguayan battle. Our decisiveness and divisiveness with each other and openness toward each other who are against us are two of the most critical factors exposing our unpreparedness. Lack of trust and rampant our historical ignorance feed this inability to see the world that opposes us as unquestionably against us. We seem unable to visualize ourselves as a people already armed with the might to crush our destroyers and give us the fair chance to develop ourselves into a conscious, self-defining nation. We must address why this is so. We must be brave enough to ask ourselves why we allow confusion to reign and destruction to flourish. Because of the too common disconnect between African mind and spirit, it is not surprising that so many of our potential warriors cannot even see that a battle exists. Therefore, it would be impossible for them to find their rightful place on the battlefield. Although the mind enables an awareness of the assault, it is the spirit that provides the will to connect wrong. Without knowing and will, muscle mass atrophies or becomes distorted, while its strength and stamina, when used, becomes misdirected toward glamour and other voluntary forms of submissive self-pacification. Affirm, I recognize that we are at war. Affirm, I recognize that we are at war. October 24th. He has not been born who shall say he has conquered me. The Zulu Personal Declaration. I am not ashamed of being a descendant of enslaved Africans. In fact, I'm very proud of this fact. I am in no way inclined to dismiss the pain and agony of the one in every two Africans who was murdered during the Inostrasi Otuko of the Maafa. Neither will I dismiss the importance of the resilience passed down from the millions of ancestors who died captives of a vicious, malicious enslavement, nor the determination and struggle of nearly 5 million strong who ended our enslavement. I promise to never heed those who say I am too black when it comes to learning our history first. At the same time, I am not lost in the time of our enslavement, for consciousness requires one to act. And I'm stuck, however, in analyzing where we are relative to where we were when we lived in human societies as the original civilized people. By choice, I remain stuck in seeing how we measure up to the spirituality of those whom we consistently brag about as being the original people, our ancestors, the same people we now call Africans and with whom humanity would not share blood, breath, and existence. I will forever remain stuck in demanding that our people attain the same level of physical, mental consciousness, and spirituality that they simply consider the essence of humanity. Moreover, at this time, my foremost thinking is not concerned with other people, except to the extent that we focus on providing the best possible examples for whom we must emulate. Affirm, I am not ashamed. Affirmed, I am not ashamed. I'm hurt. The Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I am hurt, but I am not ashamed. It's a good one here today. I usually do this, but it's a good one because of what we're going to talk about today. You know, what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. Who has been doing the telling? Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your behavior pattern. Excuse me, your thought pattern determines your attitude, and your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think and it ends with what you do, your actions, what you think, and then based upon what you think, how you respond, how you behave, your actions. And if you think our women are bitches, hoes, and hoochies, then you're going to treat them sisters like bitches, hoes, and hoochies. But if you think that our sisters are to be loved, protected, and admired, and respected, then you will treat them with love, protection, admiration, and respect. And that's what we must do. And the same thing applies to the brothers in the thinking of the sisters. That's why we must not be the people who walked but left no footprints. We must. And who talked but had nothing meaningful to say. Who labored but built nothing for themselves. So, as we lay at your feet, the builders spade and shovel, the masons troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom, now go and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Go online to YouTube, put Lester Velt Middleton. He has interviewed our great scholars. If you want to hear our great scholars, Ivan Van Cernima, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, John G. Jackson, you name it. Brother Lester Velt Middleton, great work. I pick up every now and then, I don't know if you do, on your Facebook, Your Black World, Boyce Watkins. He still puts out a piece. He has one that he does when he talks specifically about a specific topic, and it's usually about finance. Your Black World has a number of topics relevant to today's things that are happening. But the one that caught me, because they're going to do another movie on Cleopatra. And of course, Cleopatra, the movies from back in the day, I think there's there's a silent one. And then there's Claudette Colbert. Claudette Colbert played in Cleopatra. She played Cleopatra. And of course, Elizabeth Taylor. When Elizabeth Taylor played Cleopatra, I was young, maybe about 10 years old, I think, somewhere around there. And downtown Milwaukee, the Strand Theater, that thing stayed there for over a year. They had big marquees,
billboards, all kind of stuff. You know? Cleopatra. Cinematic, you know, up to the hilt. Technicolor. Yeah. And I'm not sure who's played it recently, but there's a Israeli Jewish lady who's going to play Cleopatra. Gail Kadot. She's Israeli. Gail Kadot. Don't know her, but hey. And then the question has been for some time now, for years, about the Greeks, particularly the Ptolemies who took over ancient Kemet. Who were they, and what did they look like after so many hundreds of years? They stayed there for about, 300 years before they were removed. Yeah, the Ptolemies. And so she's going to play that, you know. But the question, once again, and is being asked here in the article in Your Black World, was Cleopatra black? Now, understand something. I'm going to read this article because it's outstanding. The article is written by Sheer Muhammad Akinyele. And, you know, they ask these questions. We've been asking them for a long time. George G.M. James, in fact, I titled today's subject as Stolen Legacy, after the book of George G.M. James. George Granville Mariah James, who I believe was intentionally killed. He exposed the fallacy of the misnomer of Greek philosophy and so forth, and under his studies, he exposed the fact that the Greeks had studied at the feet of African people. You know, like Socrates studied at the feet of African people, went back to Greece, and they killed him. They killed him. They made him drink hemlock. They made him drink poison. He said, man, you're bringing all these foreign ideas and foreign concepts here. You know, we can't have this. You know, so they killed him. You know, Plato saw what was happening. He disappeared. He went to Kemet and studied at the feet of African people for many years, I think a couple of decades, before he resurfaced. And of course, he became the known philosopher of ancient Greece, more so than any other philosopher, was Plato. And of course, later on comes Aristotle, who was a philosopher at the time of Alexander the so-called Great. And it was Alexander the so-called Great who took ancient Kemet. They just studied there then, you know, around those times. But then Alexander the so-called Great, they made their move. And because, too, the Persians had been up in there. And they didn't like the treatment of the Persians, the Iranians, you want to use that area, the Indo-Europeans, you know. The Semitic people. The Greeks were the Indo-Europeans. I apologize. Got to get it right. When you throw out information, you know, and I could be wrong, and rescue me if I'm wrong. But if you throw out information, you always try to make sure you're as factual as possible, even though I'm presenting this information from an African point of view, an African-centered perspective. I'm not giving you my opinion, because my opinion is deeply profane. I'm giving you information based on scholarly research by our scholars and historians, and sometimes in the aid of others who are outside of us, but who are honest enough to admit that that is correct, that what we had presented is correct, you know. And so they have done this many times. A man that we must know and know of and look at him and look at his work is Dr. Sheikh Anta-Diop, although many people pronounce it Diop because it's spelled D-I-O-P. It's pronounced Jop. Dr. Sheikh Anta-Diop. Jop was from Senegal. He was a brilliant man, probably Dr. Cheikh Anta Diop and W.E.B. Du Bois were two of the most brilliant men of the last century, period. Not just African men. They were two of the most brilliant men of the last century, period. Both dynamic scholars, multidisciplinarians. Jop was a scientist, an archaeologist, a paleontologist, a historian. You know, he was multi. But what he did was he created the melanin dosage test. He could take the mummies and extract the melanin to determine the amount of melanin in the skin, proving that the ancient Kemetic people, or what the Greeks called Egyptians, were African, were dark-skinned. Proving it. There was a symposium in 1974 in Cairo because the debate became, debate kept raging. Were the ancient Egyptians African? And of course, Western society, because I just explained to you the movies they had, the books they had, the individuals like James Breasted and many other European scholars, historians. No. No, they're not African. No, they're not black. Nobody black ever did anything of any consequence, of any measure, of any note. No ingenious manufacturers among them. No arts, no science, nothing. You were running around a jungle with a rag up your ass and a bone through your nose. Waiting for us. Waiting for Europeans. And so Jop, along with Dr. Theophilia Obenga, went to the symposium and kicked their ass. That's right. They won the debate. The smoking gun was the melanin. Yeah, he said, I can prove to you 10 ways. The phenotype, skeletal remains, eyewitness account of the Greeks themselves. Of the Greeks themselves. Yes, they wound up later on after they came and took Kemet. They plagiarized. They put their names on, especially Socrates. Aristotle. Especially, that's where all this father of this, father of that came from. Even the father of medicine, Hippocrates. You take the Hippocratic Oath. Now, they gave Imhotep. They don't call him Imhotep. They call him Aesculapius. And they give him some props. And so he is named in the oath. They give him some props. But these people we're dealing with are cultural bandits. They are plagiarizers. They are liars. They are thieves. They co-opt stuff like left and right. And even when we challenge them, and when, what do I always say on the program, brothers and sisters, they suffer from what? That's right, cognitive dissonance. They believe that they are superior. And nobody else can convince them otherwise. No matter how much proof you may have, verified, bona fide, substantiated, with the stamp? I'm stuck. You know, when you get something validated, you know, with this, it'll come to me. It always does. But all of that was there. So they don't care. It does not fit with the mindset that they have that. Whatever anybody else did is no count until we say it, until we have done it, and we'll take it. They were so bold that when they went down into other parts of the continent and they seen these wonders, maybe if we didn't do it, like Zimbabwe, those great walls in Zimbabwe, then maybe some aliens did it. Maybe some aliens did that, you know? If we didn't do it, that's how they are. That's what they do. Man. So you can watch the Learning Channel, National Geographic, PBS, History, Discovery, all of that. If they still, to this very day, in 2020, if they show a dramatization or illustration on ancient Kemet, the folks will look, well, obviously they don't look as Caucasianish, that they did, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago or more. But they don't look African, do they? No, because what they wanted to do and what they have done is further put into your mind that you ain't never. Because if they show somebody serving somebody, they're going to look like you. Because they want to put into your mind that you ain't never been nothing but a servant. You ain't never been nothing but a slave. While they, I mean, the recent movies, they had the Gods of Egypt with Gerard Butler. I think he was set. And he had this other Caucasian who was supposed to be Heru. And of course, you know, they had Osir and Osir or Osiris and Isis. And but they were all Caucasian. You know? They had the Moses piece. We'll talk about that too. You know, the Ten Commandments, because that's an influence in that part of the world and the region. Moses. You know, every year around Easter, you're going to see the Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille's movie. And I watch it. I watched it as a kid. Went to the theater. They had to have an intermission. The movie so damn long. Back in the mid-60s. Came out in the 50s. You know? It's a nice story. But that's what it is. It's a story. Problem that we have, dear brothers and sisters, ancient Kemet was real. Ancient Kemet was a fact. And ancient Kemet was black. What Dr. Sheikh Anta Jop did was prove that all the dynasties from 1 to 30, it didn't change until the imposition of the, not even the Hyksos, because they got rid of the Hyksos and they came back stronger. But but when the Persians came in, and then the Persians got kicked out by the Greeks, and the Greeks stayed in for a while. And of course, there's that saying, to the victor goes the spoil. So there are some temples that the Greeks changed because they wanted to be like us. The culture of ancient Kemet was so strong and so beautiful, and it lasted thousands of years, that when the Greeks came in, they didn't change it. They just wanted to be like, they tried to dress themselves up. They tried to put, I mean, they wanted to go through the mystery school, well, they're a mystery to them, but the educational schools in Waset. They wanted to do all of those things that we had done. And then, of course, the Romans came in after the Greeks died down, and that's when Cleopatra, and the most noted of the Cleopatras, it's like a title, was Cleopatra the Seventh. That's the one that was, that encountered Julius Caesar and Mark Antony and, of course, Octavian. And the question is, was she black? Let me just say this. If you listen to this program, you know that African DNA is the strongest. It is dominant. The genetics are dominant. Africans can make all other, in fact, all other people are made because of Africans. And what makes human beings different is the ability to adapt to the environments that they find themselves in. So Caucasians can't make Africans, but Africans can make Caucasians. And that's why That's why, as Dr. Francis Cress Wellson said, they hate us and they want to eliminate us because there's a fear of them being eliminated through genetic annihilation. And so to say, was she black? If you're there and then people are black, I would say that she was like a high yellow sister. Ain't there some high yellow sisters? You, when you see them, they fine. Some are, some ain't. But when you see them, you know they black. There's features. There might be some hair texture. It's almost like Charlotte. When you look at that picture of Charlotte in England, you can see there's features that she's black, and definitely you can see her hair, you know. Hey. But the bottom line is, the European does not acknowledge the African presence, particularly in something that strong, that deep. And it is historical and it is present. Although when Sheikh Anta Diop did that along with Thelophilio Bingo, who was in linguistic, and he proved linguistically that it was tied to Africa. I mean, they were on it. They were on it. They won the debate. UNESCO wrote the history of African people and Africana in 3 volumes. I think it's more than that. Because they were on it. They won the debate. But yet still, there's that denial by Europeans because they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior and nobody can tell them otherwise. So you had Caucasians who have been writing books, and even to the present, there was debates like Mary Lefkowitz, who was staunch that no, Kemet was not an influence on Greece. Greece developed out of itself like bam. The great Greek, because see, Europeans, what do they do, brothers and sisters? Europeans, Greece is their foundation. Greece has to be something glamorous, something beautiful, something just, I mean, the mind and all. They got all of it. They ripped it all off. No, the Greeks were not all that. That's for damn sure. But she had to defend that. Just like others, like Arthur Schlesinger, all these other scholars about 20-some years ago, 30-some years ago, and debate, like Dr. John Henry Clark dusted her ass. In fact, after he dusted her ass, she ain't been around since, Mary Lefkowitz. Arthur Schlesinger, they dusted all these folks because we were coming with the narrative of truth, and we had things to back it up. We didn't come with fairy tale. We didn't come with myth. We came with fact. We came with historical information that could be verified, bona fide, substantiated, notarized. That's what I was thinking about, like a notary public and a stamp, notarized. We came with it. I'm going to read this piece when I come back from the break. I hope you stick with me. And we'll gauge into some dialogue. This is very serious. And let me tell you why before I go to the break. Because we want to speak our special truths. But in this society, they don't want to hear it. Caucasians suffer from Caucasian fragility. Dr. D'Angelo, Robin D'Angelo coined that term, white fragility. They suffer from, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about the evil there. They don't want to hear about the things that they have done to other people, the genocide, the taking of people's land, the enslavement of Africa. They don't want to hear it. And they sure in the hell don't want to hear it from us. You know? They don't want to hear it. And so they have this idea about their grandeur, about how beautiful and how great they are, and how what they did was the beauty was to help the world. Their manifest destiny. They're going around the world and civilizing, bringing civilization to primitive people. And so they don't want to hear that. And so Arthur Schlesinger and Mary Lefkowitz and all those other European, but there was one Caucasian that looked at it objectively. Of course, he was Martin Brunel. who wrote Black Athena. He did the research. He wasn't scared, and he told the truth. Martin Brunel, Black Athena. So we're going to get off into that and some other things because, like I said, they're trying to revert back to that now. They don't want to hear about enslavement of African people. They don't want to hear about the desegregation. They don't want to hear about all this bad stuff, as Donald Trump said. No, we want to put into the schools patriotism. We want them to know about the beauty of America, the American idea, the American exceptionalism. They want to hear that. No, we don't want to hear about America injecting its citizens with syphilis, America putting cyclogenics and so forth in their water and then tripping up. No, they don't want to hear none of that. They don't want to hear about that. They don't want you to write about the civil rights movement. No. The bombing of the church. No. American exceptionalism, the patriotism curriculum is what they want to put into the public schools because they don't like the 1619, which is not that strong any damn way, but there's others. What was another term they used? Oh, man. It's another term they're using in terms of justice, of looking at things justly and factually how it is. No, they don't want to do that. No, they don't. So I'm going to get off into this article. Was Cleopatra black? When we come back. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Shakedown. Well, some stepping music right there, so that's a Friday thing, you know. So I hope I got you in a mood. Well, probably ain't too many places open, although there's a couple places here in the Atlanta area that's open from what I understand. But I hope maybe there's some places open in your neighborhood and in your city and town, whatever. You can, you know, step and bop, hand dance, whatever you call it. That's Chicago Steppers. Shakedown. Was Cleopatra black? The current controversy over Cleopatra being portrayed by a Caucasian woman is an old argument. In an upcoming movie titled Queen of the Nile, Israeli actor Gal Gadot will play Cleopatra, an African queen. Gadot is known for playing Wonder Woman. That's the chick that played Wonder Woman. However, in 1963 movie, Hollywood used the talents of legendary actress Elizabeth Taylor to portray Cleopatra. Gadot's movie on Cleopatra has again ignited reoccurring argument over whether or not Cleopatra was African. And I say the word African, even though I see black, I see African. And of course, if you know me on this program, I'm always advocating for African because to me, black is a color, it's an adjective. African is what they are. And of course, she was African. Absolutely, Cleopatra was African, but there is a deeper argument at bay. Cleopatra is an extension of a larger debate. Were the ancient Kemetic people really African? For centuries, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, and the system of racism have been working hard to Europeanize and Arabize many aspects of African history and culture, especially ancient Kemet. Especially ancient Kemet, which is the height and the apex, the zenith, and the pinnacle of African high culture. Almost all scientists and historians agree that Africa is the birthplace of humanity. However, many maintain mainstream historians Egyptologists are Europeans. Kemetologists are Africans. So Europeans are trying to figure out how they can continue to use manipulation and fake history and so on to make Kemet European, make it Egypt. Kemetologists are searching for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's right. So, Egyptologists consistently give ambiguous arguments about Africa's role as the mother of the world's civilizations and religions. Many historians and Egyptologists that do give credit, or Kemetologists that do give credit to Africa as being the mother of the world's civilization and religions, are considered radical. The battle wages onward over to this day about Africa's central role in world as a developer of the world civilizations and religions, especially about ancient Kemet, a civilization that was being authored by African people. Many historians and Egyptologists say the original name of Kemet or Kemetologists is Kemet. The name Kemet means land of the blacks, or the black land. I remember many years ago talking with this Caucasian, and he didn't want to say, he said, it means the black land. It doesn't mean land of the blacks. It means the black land. It means that the depositing the black fertile earth along the banks of the Nile River. That's what it means. Well, okay. However, Caucasians and a system of racism is committed to discrediting African people as the originators of Western civilizations and the framers for all Hammuratic faith traditions, which is Judaism. This is, you know, because out of Abraham, Hammuratic, because out of Abraham, all these religions come, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Historians and Kemetologists that present a racist narrative to the world about African people are still trying to justify to the world the reasoning behind the enslavement, segregation, colonization of African people. They have Caucasianized. They've whitewashed Kemet at all costs. Kemet must be presented to the world as a civilization with European and Arab origins. Even though Jop, I told you, won the debate. They must do this. They ignore it. They dismiss it. For example, Dr. James Breasted. Very quickly on James Breasted. James Breasted, because he wanted to create the Oriental Museum, that's what he called it at the time, in Chicago. And of course, museums cost money. He needed benefactors. And even though he was writing objectively on the history of the people of the world at one time, but to get this money, the people who he tried to get money from were, of course, Caucasians who believed in their supremacy, believed that nobody had done anything but them. And so, you know, he acquiesced to them. And, of course, he came up with the Great White Race. Dr. James Breasted is the founder of the American School of Egyptology at the University of Chicago in Illinois. The School of Egyptology is presently one of the world's most premier programs on the study and science of Kemetic history, religion, and culture of today. His work on the history of Kemet is great and credible. It is worth reading and studying. Breasted lived August 27, 1865 to December 2, 1934. He completed his undergrad studies at North Carolina Central College. North Central College. Dr. Breasted finished his master's degree at Yale. He went on to pursue his PhD at the University of Berlin in Germany. That's another one. University of Berlin in Germany. I'm telling you. That's like, you see that Nefertiti bust that you see all the time, you know, with those features? It's a fake. It was proven to be a fake, but people still sell it. It's still out there. It was a fake out of Germany. In research, Breasted acknowledged that Kemet is the world's first major civilization. He shows that Kemet is the author of the world civilizations and Western religions, i.e. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Dr. Breasted has documented that Kemet led the world in science, mathematics, architecture, governments, law, theology, philosophy, ethics, a written language, monotheism, the idea of the essentially God, that's the existence, the very essence of God, medicine, architecture, the invention of paper, the invention of the calendar, of 365-day calendar, the belief in the afterlife, the belief in a soul, the belief in the judgment of the soul, the belief in spirituality, and the resurrection story of thousands of years before there was ever such a thing called Europe, Mesopotamia, Western Asia, China, Greece, Rome, Judaism, Christianity, El Islam, all those things. In the known world, there's a breakaway here in this article in Your Black World. And I suggest you try to get it with an hour and a half piece with Dr. Joseph Ben Jokana, Dr. Ben, Lies and Distortions, African History Revisited with Dr. Ben. However, I'm going to get to some calls in a minute. I appreciate it. I got a few folks hanging, but I'm going to read this. I want to make it very clear today what we are talking about. However, his beliefs in Caucasian supremacy, notions that Africa and African people would not allow him to go on the record to say that before the invasions of the Assyrians and then the Persians and then the Greeks and then the Romans, the Arabs in history, Kemet was an indigenous all-African civilization from 10,000 years before Christian era to the foreign invasion forces from Assyria, Persia, Greeks, Romans, and Arabs. After these invaders and conquerors came to Africa, to Kemet, became a mixture of different cultures from the Black, White, and West Asian Middle Eastern worlds. However, Dr. Breasted argued that Kemet, the people, were white. From the beginning to the end of Kemet, Egyptian dominance of the world we know today to be untrue. His scholarship on the civilization of antiquity are extremely biased toward African history
bias against African history and culture. Dr. Breasted called his book Ancient Times. It is steeped in European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. In fact, the scholarship in his book has contributed greatly to the ideology of white supremacy and the system of racism in America and in the world, particularly in the field of Egyptology. Breasted writes on page 12, in North Africa, these people were dark-skinned, but nevertheless, physically, they belonged to the white race, the great white race. If you ever seen Anthony Broder's book, Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization, there's a page in there where he talks about Breasted, and they have a map of Africa atop the northern part of Africa and all up Europe and some of Eastern Asia. They have the great white race. It's circling as the great white race. Anything below that, to the east of there is the yellow people, the Mongolians, the Mongoloids. To the south of there is the black people, the Africans. But they're the great white race. On the very next page is a map of North Africa and the Mediterranean, East Europe, Asia, and West Asia, the so-called Middle East. Right on that page, in highlighted black ink, it reads the following: the great white race. Now, Breasted made these white supremacist statements despite the fact that radical scholarship revealed that Kemet was an African civilization and Africa is the mother of humanity. For example, Count Volney went to Kemet with Napoleon Bonaparte. He was part of Napoleon Bonaparte's team. And Count Volney was pretty objective. European scholarly professionals in 1798. At this time, Napoleon was the emperor of France, but he had an interest in the ancient world. They discovered that Kemet was a great African civilization and that she influenced the world. But Volney's research already led him to see that Kemet was an African civilization years before his trip to Kemet with Napoleon in 1787. Volney wrote in his book, Voyages on Syria in Egypt, on pages 74 to 77 about Kemet being African civilization. He writes, all have bloated faces, puffed up eyes, flat noses, thick lips. In word, the true face, not of the mulatto. I was tempted to attribute it to the climate, but when I visited the Sphinx, its appearance gave me the key to the riddle. On seeing that head, typically negroid in all its features, I remember the remarkable passages where Herodotus said, as for me, I judge the Chalcedons to be a colony of the Egyptians because like them, they are black with woolly hair. In other words, the ancient Egyptians were true Africans of the same type as all native-born Africans. To be that being so, we can see how their blood mixed for several centuries with that of Romans and Greeks must have lost the intensity of its original color while retaining, nonetheless, the imprint of its original mold. We can even state as a general principle that the face is a kind of monument able, in many cases, to attest or shed light on historical evidence on the origins of people. But returning to Egypt, the lesson she teaches history contains many reflections for philosophy. What a subject for meditation. You see, the present barbarism and ignorance the Coptics, descended on the alliance between the profound genius of the Egyptians and the brilliant minds of the Greeks. Just think that the race of black men today, our slaves, and the object of our scorn, is the very race to which we owe our... This is a very important, if you don't know this quote here by Count Volney. This is a very important quote, and I'm going to say it to you again. Just think that the race of black men today, our slaves, and the object of our scorn is the very race to which we owe our art, science, and even the use of speech. Just imagine, finally, that it is in the midst of people who, call themselves the greatest friends to liberty, Caucasians, and humanity, the ones has approved the most, has proven to be the most barbarous. Slavery questions whether black men have the same kind of intelligence as white. Again, these arguments about whether or not Africa is the mother civilization and Kemet being African are old. Seeing this new article on Cleopatra being portrayed as a Caucasian woman inspired me to go to my library. I had to dig deep into my library craters to pull old articles in Newsweek magazine from the early 1990s on the national debates about whether or not Kemet was an African civilization. Thank God Newsweek has digitized some of these old issues. I also found them on the internet. I found one about Cleopatra and Kemet being African. Afrocentricity brought on these debates. Afrocentricity, not Afro, Afra, Afra, like African. Afrocentricity brought on these debates about the Africanness of Cleopatra's and Kemet to the national stage in the late 1980s and early 1990s, which, of course, was the time that I got off into this particular movement to reclaim and recapture and restore the history of our people. The movement of Afrocentricity of the late 1980s and 1990s was a major movement in America and in the world. Afrocentricity is an African-centered intellectual movement challenging Caucasian, European extremism, racism, and privilege, and racist notions about African people. Afrocentricity in African history, African culture, African spirituality, world history, Caribbean history, Western religions, and American history. Some of its leaders consisted of the following scholars: Dr. Shiganta Jop, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Joseph Bendrakana, Dr. Ivan von Sertima, Dr. Asa Hilliard, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Professor Oshawa Kwesi, Dr. Tony Browder, Professor Dr. Renoka Rashidi, Professor James Small, Dr. Naeem Akbar, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Dr. Marimba Ani, Dr. Shashi McIntyre, Dr. Amos Wilson, and Dr. Malana Karinga, and Dr. Malefi Ketiasanti. Their commitment to the African-centered scholarship has led to the reawakening of the African mind in America and in the world in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Afrocentricity inspired African people to acquire the knowledge of self, and hip-hop became conscious. Afrocentricity was the movement in the streets. Dr. Malefi Ketiasanti, the professor, professor of African Studies at Temple University and the author of the book called Afrocentricity, says African people will be the subject of history, not objects. Though the lens of Afrocentricity, African people were challenging Caucasians and Arab scholars to rewrite, Kemetic as belonging to African history and culture on the world stage. One of the fundamental intellectual pillars of Afrocentricity was the late Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. He lived from December 29, 1923 to February 7, 1986. Dr. Diop was a world-renowned scientist and political theorist from Senegal. He had intellectual temerity to say to the world, he had the guts, the cojones, to say to the world that Kemet and her people were autocentric to Africa. Dr. Diop was known for his famous carbon testing on mummified African people, on mummified Kemetic people. His results proved that the Kemetic people were in fact African. There it is right there. The carbon dating test. That was the smoking gun. He can prove, I can prove to you that the ancient Kemetic people, but yet and still, the Caucasian, the cracker, don't want to go along with it. They can't handle the truth. They truly suffer from cognitive dissonance and Caucasian fragility. Dr. Diop wrote many books. One of his most famous, important book is The African Origins of Civilization, Myth or Reality, published in 1976. Dr. Diop documents with sound data, evidence, and research on Africa's contribution to the world civilizations and religions. But the beginnings of his arguments as Africa's role in the development of the world civilization and religion started with Kemet. In Kemet, the world finds its pathway to civilization and religiosity. In the preface of the book on pages 14 and 15, Diop writes, The ancient Egyptians were Negroes. The moral fruit of their civilization is to be counted among the assets of the black world. Instead of presenting itself to history as an insolvent debtor, that black world is the very inheritor of the Western civilization flaunted before our eyes today. Pythagorean mathematics, the theory of other elements of Thales and Eucharis and materialism, Plato's ideas, Platonic ideas, Judaism, Islam, and modern science are rooted in Egyptian cosmology and science. One need only to meditate on Osiris or Osir, the Redeemer God, who sacrifices himself, dies, and is resurrected to save mankind, a figure essentially identified with Christ. A visitor to Waset, or what the Greeks call Thebes, a visitor to Thebes is the Valley of the Kings, can view the Muslim inferno in detail in the tomb of Seti I of the 19th dynasty, 1700 years before the Quran. Osiris, or Aset, is the tribunal of the dead, is indeed the Lord of revered religion, sitting enthroned on Judgment Day. We know that certain biblical passages are particularly copies of Egyptian moral texts. Profound research coming from Dr. Sheikh Andre Diop. He once said the ancestors of Africans who today live mainly in Black Africa were the first to invent mathematics, astronomy, the calendar, science, in general, arts, religion, architecture, agriculture, social organizations, medicine, writing techniques. You name it, we did it. At the height of the African-centered movement, I was an undergrad history student at Seton Hall University in South Orange, New Jersey. I graduated with honors in 1993. I remember the movement of Afrocentricity making national news all the time. In other old Newsweek articles titled Out of Africa, Greece, dated September 22, 1991, the writer named Sharon Begley explores the African-centered challenge to European and Arab domination. She writes, "For years, many African scholars have argued that the answer is as plain as the Sphinx's or Hori Maket. Hori, it's not the Sphinx. Sphinx, that's Greek. That's a Greek story, the Greek tragedy story of Oedipus Rex. The Sphinx means the strangler. That's what it means. No, this is Hori Maket. When you see that statue, the head of a man and the body of a lion, it's called Hori Maket. That means Heru of the horizon. Its face faces east. When the sun comes up, it hits its face and then it hits the rest of its lion-like body." Kemet was an African civilization. By reference, say some Afrocentrists, Euclid, Homer, Socrates, and Egyptian royals from Tut to Cleopatra were Africans. They were Africans. In 1992, journalist Lynn Duke wrote an article entitled "African-Centered Curriculum, Reclaiming History or Rewriting It." She writes, "A public school struggle with how to present the histories of diverse cultures, the movement called Afrocentrism has sparked a cultural war among scholars over whose interpretation of history is valid. The movement was reshaping the lessons in world and American history. It began to make Black Lives Matter. As a consequence, Afrocentricity threatened the establishment of the world. The world order struck back by sending the late Arthur Schlesinger, Dr. Schlesinger, he was one of the academic predominant history scholars in America. Dr. Schlesinger published a book called The Disuniting of America. He viciously attacked Afrocentricity in his scholarship. Dr. Schlesinger called Afrocentricity a cult of ethnicity in which history is to be rewritten so that African can appear great. Another established scholar was summoned to attack Afrocentricity, and that is Dr. Mary Lefkowitz. She wrote a book called Not Out of Africa, How Afrocentricity or Afrocentrism Became an Excuse to Teach Myth as History. It was published in 1996. Not Out of Africa was produced in response to a popular, massive Afrocentric movement taking place among African people in America and in the world in the late 1980s and early mid to 1990s. She argued in her book, Kemet did not play any role in the development of Greek culture and civilization. They didn't play not a damn thing. Professor Lefkowitz is very anti-African. The late Dr. Martin Brunel once said, Not Out of Africa is an extremely provocative book. Dr. Martin Brunel, who was Caucasian and a former Cornell University professor, wrote a review of the book Not Out of Africa in the London Review of Books dated December 12, 1996, titled Who's Greece? He wrote, Mary Lefkowitz's concern or obsession with Afrocentricity emerging suddenly in 1991 when she wrote a review of my book, Black Athena, for the New Republic. As a professor of classics, she was appalled to discover that people were writing books and teaching that Greek civilization had diverted or even been stolen from Egypt and claiming that the ancient Egyptians were black. So were Socrates and Cleopatra. The Afrocentrists maintained that Greece had been invaded from Africa in the middle of the second millennium, that Greece, religion, and the mysteries were all based on Egyptian prototypes, and that what we call Greece philosophy was in fact a secret wisdom of ancient Egyptian masonry. Dr. Brunel went on to say, For this reason, she has published a series of overlapping articles denouncing these Afrocentric myths. Not Out of Africa is a compilation of these pieces, along with some added material and new arguments. The blurb on the back of the book proclaims it to be a thoughtfully inquiry, detailed carefully, researched, fully documented. In fact, this is not an argument conducted with Afrocentric, but an attempt to finish them off. We ain't arguing, which I'm going to finish y'all off. I'm going to present these facts, what I say is facts. All of these arguments about African history and cultural books take place in the 1980s and 1990s, but it has not stopped. In contemporary times, the world order still continues to discredit and dismiss African history and culture. As recent as 2019, a book Defining Legends, Analysis of Afrocentric Writings Against Islam was published to attack Afrocentricity. The book is written by an English-born, Western, Saudi Arabian-educated Ghanaian named Dr. Abu Hayek El Ashanti. His book was published in 2019. In my naive, I thought Defining Legends was going to offer a balanced critique of Afrocentricity written by an African scholar. Unfortunately, I was completely wrong. From start to finish, his scholarly clearly demonstrates that Dr. Ashanti is an Arabized, self-hating African. Arabized African is a term describing African person who firmly believes that the authenticity of the religion of Islam is founded on Arab culture. Hence, Sudan. In the Sudan, you can see Africans who are dark, but yet they claim to be white because they are Muslim, they say. They're Arabized. Remember about al-Bashir, the president at the time? Yeah. You know? Some black Muslims do not follow this thinking. Not all black Muslims in the Islamic world are Arabized Africans. Some black Muslims are pro-black. However, Arabized Africans do exist in the world. Arabized Africans are against Africanness or blackness and anything that promotes a non-Arab culture. Arabism is a racist belief that Arab history, culture, and language are superior to all non-African civilizations. Dr. Ashanti has a deep religious problem with Afrocentricity. His writings are absolutely committed to helping to destroy African people's path to liberation and the use of Afrocentricity.
When reading his book, it became clear Dr. Shanti's intentions. They are to undermine African people's struggle to look at the world from their own African-centered worldview. He believes in his mind that Afrocentricity is a threat to Islam. Dr. Ashanti does not see Afrocentricity as a proper and natural vehicle for African people to liberate themselves from centuries of worldwide Caucasian superiority and the systematic institutionalization of racist oppression. Dr. Shanti's writing on page 19 of his book, since the 1960s, there have been a rapid and phenomenal increase of people in the West embracing Islam, and the majority of those people in the West who are turning to Islam are people of African origin in the UK and the USA. At the same time, African-centered ology has also spread in the West, which has since 1970s argued that Islam itself was a religion of Arab conquerors that plundered Africa to the detriment of African people themselves. And this comedic Afrocentricity varies Hebrew Israelite cults or Black Orientalism has emerged to counter this growth of people of African origins turning to Islam. In other words, Dr. Shanti believes Afrocentricity, not white racism, is a threat to the existence of Islam and Muslims. He throws away his particular and secular education methodology and scholarship to analyze Afrocentricity from a religious perspective. He uses biased religious lenses of his Saudi Arabian Islamic sectarian center scholarship to distort and misrepresent Afrocentricity. Unfortunately, his book comes in the same line as Mary Lefkowitz, Not Out of Africa, How Afrocentrism Became an Excuse to Teach Myth as History. Dr. Lefkowitz uses white supremacy to create race scholarship to attempt to debunk the validation of Afrocentricity. In summary, we must understand that African history and culture are still under attack by European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, and a system of such. The power structures of the world are committed to making Africans believe, making Africa's lives not matter to justify African people being at the lowest rungs and realms of society. We must continue to fight to rescue, reclaim, and restore African history and culture, to return it to its proper place amongst the various respects of culture of humanity. If we as Africans and human beings do not commit ourselves to the facts of African history and culture, then Cleopatra and Kemet will continue to be whitewashed in the annals of world history. Hotep. That was Bashir Muhammad Akinyele, and is a historian and a member of ASCAC. He is an Africana teacher, and he is a member of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, which, of course, I am a member of ASCAC and love ASCAC. Okay, we got some callers. All right, who do we got here? Let's go first up. First up is 626. Jay, how you doing? Hello, Jay, how you doing? Okay, well, put Jay back on hold. 602.
Yes.
Hey, brother.
Yes, brother Oshie.
Hey, brother Marcus, how you doing?
I'm doing great, good brother. Boy, that program today is strong, my brother.
Thank you.
Because that is so much needed. You see, that Arab element, we don't talk enough about.
Right.
Towards people, we don't. You know, we don't talk enough about them, and we should address that because they are a big stumbling block and in Africa too.
See, yes, they are.
They are the, yes.
Because,
you know, cause they said, oh, we don't see color. And I see some black brothers. I said, brother, how the hell can you say that? You know what I'm saying? I said, these people carting out the money out of your country on a daily basis, but yet still you don't see Africa, you don't see color. They see color though when they look at you.
That's right.
You know?
That's
so,
right.
I'm glad what happened in the Sudan. The Sudan, those youth overthrew there.
Mm-hmm.
There's
right.
No more Arab Republic of the Sudan, Arabic Republic. It's the Republic of the Sudan. And that should sweep all across North Africa to let them know, look, this is, we are Africans first. We are not Muslims first. We are not Christians first. We are Africans first. And that man book there, that Ghanaian, it don't make good toilet paper. Just like the Quran and the Bible.
Yep.
You see, look, we got to be honest. You know, our people got to wake up and say, look, this is, you know, you cannot embrace the religion of the oppressor and expect it's going to liberate you.
It won't
it's
do it.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work, and brothers and sisters. You're right, Marcus.
It's going to
it's
work.
Not going to work.
And brother, if you your organization could get that curriculum that you are were talking about, let us get that curriculum and let us start putting institutions in Africa to reorientate the minds of our children. Because that's where we have to go. We have to go. You can't do it here. You're not going to implement that. What we need is a curriculum of exclusion.
Yeah.
To exclude all the lies
yep.
that they told us. But we need that curriculum in Africa to reorientate the minds of our people and to fix the next generation coming. We must. Start must get that curriculum, and we can start building the schools and reorientating the minds of our youth to make a change for the future. Powerful program today, Brother Oshie. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you for listening, and definitely for your contribution, because you're definitely on point. It's what I argue all the time. The main thing for us is to educate our young folks. There are some of the older folks that are just a waste. They don't make no time. But if you can reach them, you can explain to them, they can grasp it, they can help others, so be it. But the bottom line, we must teach our youth. We must give them the correct information, the African-centered information, the truth. When I used to work with our young people, what I said today were the things that I would say to them. In fact, I would tell them all the time, because I was working mostly in public schools. In fact, it really was all public schools. You're not, what I'm going to explain to you, what I'm going to teach you, you're not going to get in here. Those teachers are not going to tell you this. And I was only there for one day a week, 1 hour class, and I tried my best to impact them as deeply as I could. And some, based upon what I had done, apparently I did, because I met a brother here. He saw me at Juneteenth Day, and he said, Brother Oshie, you were in my... Man, I was like, wow. Or the sister who, when I was in Milwaukee about three years ago, she said, you're Brother Oshie. I remember you coming to my school, and because of you, I'm a teacher, you know. So you never know what impact that you can make. That's why you always come correct. You always come with sincerity and commitment. And don't be bullshitting the people. Don't. Come with it. You know, and so for me, I've been espousing these things for decades. And I have friends that are Muslims. I have friends that are Christian. I don't deal with them on that level because I know that's their religion. And I've said this many times, and I know you've heard me say it. I'm like Malcolm. When I come to the table to discuss the issues that are affecting our people, since I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Christian, but I don't want to hear about El Islam. I don't want to hear about Christianity, Seventh-day Adventists, Black Hebrews. I don't want to hear none of that. I want to hear about what we as African people are going to do to change this dynamic and to put us on a path to independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. My contention is that these religions prevent us from doing so, because many of these religions espouse individualism. I'm blessed and highly favored. So I'm saying what I just read to you, and I'm like, let me get another call here. 414-414-429. Good afternoon.
Oh, my God. Can you hear me, Brother Oshie?
I can hear you very well.
Oh, my God. What a wonderful, powerful show. And that brother that just called, that African-Jamaican brother.
Yes, yes,
oh,
Brother Marcus.
Oh, my God, you should have him on for a guest or something. I'm going to have to tell Doc Rogers about him. But anyway.
Oh, no, he calls. He calls Dr. Rogers' program.
Oh, my goodness. He is. I love him. Oh, my God. But you know, oh, man, the show was so good today. I want to thank you so, so much for that info, because I try to teach it to my grandchildren and even my children, although some of them like might be old as me. But I still, I mean, brothers and sisters, whoever would listen to me, man, what a good show. Please keep it up. And I thank the God of our ancestors for you and your family. Stay safe and keep all.
Well, thank
Look,
you.
Just keep giving it to us. Keep giving it to us. Well, I love you, Brother Oshie. And hey, you. Brother, African Jamaican brother, I love you too. Man, you something else. Thank you, Oshie.
Well, thank you, dear. And you continue to listen. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, I sure will.
Okay.
Peace and blessings.
Peace. Yeah, you continue to listen. Let me see if I got 646-646. Good afternoon. Jay must be away. But let me just say this. We got 10 minutes, unfortunately, because time flies when you're having fun. But the reason when I saw this article in Your Black World and I clicked onto it, I didn't expect too much. But then when I
saw it,
oh, here we are. What's up? What's up, Jay? How you doing?
Yeah, what kind of though? My phone was on mute, man. I didn't even really notice it.
Okay.
I was doing something. But nah, man, good show. You know, the whole thing with Cleopatra and everything else with these Europeans trying to change and reflect history and their benefit is you just have to let the scholars refute it and beat up on them and bust them up and educate your children and just move forward. I mean, you know, I think they're doing a Cleopatra movie again.
Right.
And right. They'll have some sort of white woman
right.
Do it, and we'll just let them get away with it. And, you know, it's business as usual. I mean, you know, unfortunately, when people do things like this, we don't punish them. So they basically get away with it. Same thing with, you know, they allow, you know, this, whatever you want to call a chick play, Nina Simone, to put blackface on, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though, thank God, the movie flopped, and at some point in time, she came to her senses and said that what she did was wrong, She still should be punished for doing it.
Well, she's an actress. She's an actress, and
don't make a difference.
And many actors, I hear you, Jay. Hold on. Many actors believe they can play a part. They can put on makeup, hair, and so forth, and they can play that part. You know, and it was terrible. It was disgusting. You know, and plus that too, she loved Caucasians. You know.
Yeah, but it's deeper than that. Because, number one, she looks nothing like Nita.
Right.
And you to have the audacity in your mind and the selfishness, because really what it is selfishness, to go and represent yourself in somebody else's culture is just absolutely madness. That's like me trying to play a white man, bro.
Zoe Saldana is Caribbean African.
More principle, not to act and behave like that. And you know the thing is, and it's like with history in a lot of ways, people don't have the principles or the values to be honest in regards to history because they know what the implications are. Do you know if most African children knew the history and from which we come from, these crackers wouldn't be able to get away with most of the stuff they get away with. But because we don't know the history and we don't see them for who and what they really are, they do what they do. But look, oh, I got to run. Talk
right.
to you later.
All right. Have a good weekend, Jay. See you on Monday. Brother. All right, my brother. Peace to you. No, don't. Jay is on point with that one because we don't understand the history. And we don't look at it from our vantage because we've been so inculcated, you know, Europeanized, Arabized, that we look at the history from their perspective. And of course, from European and even Arab, because we have to know, you, and if you don't know, you better know, that the first ones to enslave us in a mass were Arabs. And in fact, they're still doing it. They're still castrating us. They were castrating brothers in Libya so they could be sold to families in Omar and Qatar and United Arab Emirates and I was going to say Djibouti, and that's African. No, in Abu Dhabi and Dubai, the rich people. You know, they're so rich that they import help. Not Africans, Filipinos. But they do hire or do buy. They do buy African eunuchs. They buy men who have been neutered so they don't mess with Arab women. And they've been doing that for thousands of years. So I'm saying that we have some issues that we as Africans on the continent and throughout the diaspora need to deal with. We must damn these, you know, okay. I've said it and I'll continue to say it again. I've said it to the point of, you know, I know I'm redundant. I know I'm repetitive. I know nauseam, but it has to be said. And it must, more importantly, it must be done. Damn being said. We have to change. We have to educate our own. Even though we send our children to schools that are not ours, but we, just like the European Jews, my daughter back in Milwaukee went to a suburban school. They developed a program called the Chapter 220 program because they understood that the suburban schools had more resources. They had better programs. They had all kinds of things. And so they allowed a select group of students who lived in Milwaukee could go to these suburban schools. And my daughter was one of them. But at this one particular school, it was in the suburbs where a lot of European Jews live. And these European Jews went to the public school, but they told the public school, we're not going to be here because this is Rosh Hashanah or this is Yom Kippur or this is we ain't going to be. But they did not rely on that school to teach them about what it meant to be a European Jew. That was the synagogues and the sinners' responsibility. That was the associates and the rabbis' responsibility. But yet we rely totally on the school to educate our children and to prepare them. And what do we have to prepare them for? To get a damn job. No, we must prepare them to be independent. We must prepare them to be liberated, self-determining, sovereign, to create jobs for ourselves. Do things for ourselves. That's why it's so vitally important. That's why history, you know, was really the only subject, because I was not, unfortunately, a good student. In fact, I couldn't read. I know I'd read all the, I just finished reading, and I know. And I read, I ain't really a voracious reader, but I have to read because I'm trying to give our community information. So I got to read. I watch the news programs because I want to be as informed as I can be. Because when I come to this microphone to give you the information, once again, this is Brother Oshi. I am not giving you my opinion because my opinion is seriously, if you know me, if you heard me outside of this, you know, damn Oshi, you cussing like a damn, you know, That's me. But what I want to do is give you the most pertinent and up-to-date information and knowledge based upon the scholarly research of our scholar. Those names I read off earlier that the brother had put into the, I've read them. Some I even know. I've met. I sat at their feet. I've gone to conferences and conventions and so forth. These are men and women that I respect and admire deeply. Oh, man, time is almost up. Well, so when I saw the article, I knew that I had to present this to you, and I knew I had to present this to you in a way and frame it in a way that helps you understand about what's happening today with Donald Trump saying, we don't want you learning about or putting into the schools about how bad we have been, how terrible, how Andrew Jackson removed all those people in the Southeast, in Georgia, in Florida, Mississippi, and moved them across the country in what is called the Trail of Tears, of which some African peoples were in the Trail of Tears as well. It just wasn't indigenous people. They were also Africans. We don't want you to talk about how we put them on these so-called reservations. And if we found out that there were some minerals or some oil or whatever, we moved them again. Just like they did when they said, we're going to put this pipeline through the indigenous people's community. And they did. They did. But the folks in North Dakota or South Dakota, and one of their cities coming through there said, no, Bismarck, I think it was, whatever. Said, no, you're not going to put that pipeline through here. That ain't happening. But they put it through the indigenous people's pipeline because they don't give a damn. They don't care. And Donald Trump, when he won us, I knew it was over. I knew it was over. So he's pushing this patriotic curriculum. We're only going to talk about the good things, the manifest destiny, the beauty of American exceptionalism and so forth, the things we've given to the world, which all of it is just like the Greeks, a ripoff. There's no greater pledgers on the planet than Europeans and Caucasians. You think there's a difference between Caucasians in Europe and Caucasians in America? They're the same damn lying-ass people. The same lying-ass people. And the exceptionalism. Oh, you know what? It's time for me to go. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, you have a great weekend. We will be victorious, brothers and sisters. We will. Peace, family.